What's up, y'all? Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of SW Podcast. It's of course, Goddess Shell is in the building, and you see who over here. What's up, Queen?
What? All the way from Honolulu, Hawaii. What you say? What?
That's right. Welcome, Queen, to the show today from Honolulu, y'all. She is in Hawaii. It is 12:35. In Hawaii, and she is up and at it and on the podcast today. That's a dedicated podcaster, and we just want to tell her thank you for making sure that she is a part of today's show. But you know, it wouldn't be a full SW podcast without Queen, so we wanted to make sure she was a part of the show today. So thank you, Queen, for taking the time out on your vacation.
Much needed vacation.
So, y'all, of course, it is Wednesday, September 14th. It's my niece's birthday. Happy birthday, Ari.
Happy birthday.
Another Born Day celebration. It is a beautiful day in the capital city of Tallahassee, and it's 84 degrees now, but we started off this morning with a 65-degree increment. So we know fall is coming.
Nice.
Pull them pots out, get ready to start making them stews and them soups and them chilies because it's time to go down. Mm-hmm. Time to go down. About that. What's and up, Joe?
Hey, Joe. We ain't seen you in a minute, Joe.
I'm telling you. He talking about vacation vibes.
We ain't seen you in a minute, Joe.
I thought you was on vacation. We ain't seen you in a minute, no, but you be working though, Joe, because I be seeing all of them posts and the things you got going on. So you be busy. Mm-hmm. You definitely busy.
Bro, be busy. This show be busy, Queen. That's awesome. Joe be busy. I love it.
Yes. So we're gonna go ahead and jump into the show. And of course, like I said, we got Mr. Roosley on the show today. Mr. Roosley is going to talk to us about how he began his career in acting of 2019. And starring in his first movie. So we got a couple things he's going to discuss. He used to be a rapper as well, football player, wow. A lot of things.
Okay.
So
that's what I'm talking about. Man, that hustle, get it.
I'm telling you. Let's welcome Mr. Roosley to the virtual studio. Come on in. What's up, Tom?
I'm all right. Pretty good. Just trying to get this thing situated. You know, I was trying to connect everything to my laptop, but it just ain't support this. What is this?
With StreamYard, it don't support StreamYard, our app.
Yeah, but I got an Apple. I don't understand why. So I had to do it from a phone. You know, old school.
Well, you know.
Oh yeah.
It's a lot of things that Apple ain't jumped on board with, which is why I love Galaxy, but I'm an Apple girl and a Galaxy girl. I try to keep a little bit of both worlds.
We ain't even gonna go with that debate there.
Yeah.
Samsung, you know, all day long.
All day. Joe, don't start, Joe. I'm talking about Shelby Preston to be the weather girl. Okay.
I'm grateful. It's a blessing.
Well, we got a Rick High legend in the building. I know that's what Joe just said in the comment. We got a Rick High legend in the building. But it's cool to still be able to equate some of the things that you did in high school with who you are now, because people remember that or whatever. But we're going to talk to Mr. Roosley. I almost just stopped at Roo. We're going to talk to Mr. Roosley about what he's done after high school, what made him continue to be the legend in his status. So tell us a little bit about yourself today.
Well, as of right now, you know, got my own business with the trucking industry, because you know, I got my CDL. That's what I'm doing right now. But you know, the long-term goal is to pursue this acting career. And it was a blessing, man. But you know, right now, you know, I'm just have an independent contract with Tropicana. So I take care of that in the meantime. So it's pretty good. Yes, Tropicana, you know, is an independent contract with them, and that's what I be doing right now. So I'm in the process of putting someone in the truck to run it for me and go hard with this acting. So I got me an agent. I got an agent right now. got a nice agent. You know, he's doing pretty good, you know, putting my portfolio and everything together for me, because, you know, I never really pictured myself doing this acting, man. I'm not even going to lie to you. I never thought I could be in this position that I'm in right now. And how that started actually when I was, you know, driving. I was actually working, and I seen the audition online on Facebook. And, you know, I just had an intuition. Something told me, you know, I need to try that. You know, a lot of people don't be paying attention to that voice that be on the inside, that be talking to you. You know how you always be saying, damn, man, something told me I should have turned left, or damn, I should have, you know. So yep. Me, I exercise that. So I tune into it, and I listen to it more. I don't never overlook it. So when I had that feeling, it was saying to me, said, I need to try that. And I heard it so clear, I repeated it. I was like, I need to try that. And I'm actually driving. I said, damn, I need to try it. I'm like, shit, I ain't never acted before. Clear as day. So I said, well, okay, I'm gonna try. And that's exactly what I did. I gave the director, Mark Samuel, a call, and I told him over the phone. I said, hey, man, you know, I never acted before, but I had an intuition. Something told me I need to try this. And if you need somebody to be an extra or something, you know, I love to come and audition and, you know, and help out. And that's all I expected. I, you know, just to get like a little scene saying, okay, or a little walk by scene, you know, like if you got up and used the bathroom, you probably would have missed me. That's all I was expecting. I ain't never taken no drama class.
Like an extra.
Yeah, that's all I expected, was just to be an extra.
Okay.
But when I got there and I did the audition, he had me actually read for three characters. And but the character that I related to more was the character Real, the one I actually ended up being a co-star to the movie in. But he wasn't even supposed to have that much spotlight in the movie. He would just, you know, just did a little scene, do his little, because it was mainly about the little brother Chase. But when Mark and the film director got together, they were saying, man, it's just the energy that I brought to the film. They said, we got to bring out this character more.
Yeah.
And when I did that, I was like, man, it was like, you got this. Because I was still a little, you know, kind of skeptical, of feeling like, man, I can't. Nah, I don't know, man. Y'all think I'm doing good? Because with the other cast, they always be stopping the set. Mm-hmm. Like when you mess up, they be like, cut. No, man, you got to do it like this. You got to do this, you know, such. But they never did that with me. So I felt like, damn, am I doing something? They don't do that to me. They do that with everybody else, but they don't do that. So when we finished filming that first day, he was like, I asked him, because, you know, I'm the type of person, you know, I like to learn and perfect myself.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Mark, man, why y'all don't never, you know, tell me, you know, how you be stopping, and you see how you be talking to Chase, or you be talking to C-Note and all them. You be saying, hey, man, I want you to do this. You got to do this. You got to, he say, Real. Because, you know, they never call me by my real name. They always call me by the character.
Mm-hmm.
He say, Real. Reason why we don't say nothing to you, because you do it on cue. You don't mess up.
That was authentic.
Damn. I'm like, yeah. He was like, man, let me show you something. So when they started showing me clips of my performance, you know, like previous scenes, he was like, look at this, man. He said, you can't teach this. He said, this, you're a natural. He said, you got to believe in yourself. So when he told me that, I was like, you know what? That was motivating me to be like, you know what? Shoot, this might be a calling. And every, you know, every scene ridiculous. When we shot it, we was actually shooting it for it to be a series. That's what it was actually supposed to be, a series. But none of the networks, by us being a new film company, you know, and first time in this world, don't nobody want to get your shot.
Mm-hmm. So
they told us, okay, we're not going to accept it as a series, but we'll give you a shot if you turn it to a movie. So once we did that, Maverick Films picked it up and they distributed it for us. And man, we got on Amazon Prime, Tubi, Fendigo Now. Like, only outlet that didn't pick it up was Netflix. So I feel like now, since we have a bigger buzz now, and it was on the news, you know, Channel 10 News interviewed us and everything. So that was a great outlet. So when we did that for part two, I know it's going to be even bigger. But from that film, I got picked up on another film called Remote Location. And that was with a different director, but also Mark Sandy shot that one also. So I'm just like, man, I'm like, when I got into that, that's more like a horror film. And I'm like, what?
I saw the trailer for that, and I already know I'm staying away from that one. Because I don't do horror.
at all. I mean, if you don't like it, though, it's
Do more, eat the queen.
I'm gonna promote it. I'm gonna share
it. It's like a comedy. Horror?
No, it's horror. I saw the trailer. Yeah, it's real horror.
Yeah, you go on YouTube. We released the trailer. We haven't finished filming yet because we're still marketing it. We're doing like a 50 deal with Power. So when he shot that, he shot the pilot, and then he just shopped it for a network to pick it up. You know, see, because that's what a lot of filmmakers are doing now. So we shot the pilot. So now we're in the process of shopping it and seeing, you know, who will really want to pick it up. We're getting a lot of feedback too. So that's a good thing because we really want to like turn this into a series. And that also got me picked up for two other movies that y'all going to see, you know, later on throughout the year. Well, I'd say probably around about December, beginning of next year, you'll see I got picked up for two other movies. So they're going to be like four movies that I'll be acting in and just trying to, you know, keep building up my portfolio. And hopefully, you know, Tyler Perry will give me a shot or something. You know, I'm just, that's real though.
Speaking into existence, King.
I never imagined myself making it this far, you know, especially coming up out of Miami and, you know, if you read my story, you know, my background from the things I experienced, it wasn't easy, man. It was a rough
upbringing. And that's what made the movie, I think, the natural of it is probably what they saw in you, because a lot of that what you brought to the film, it came from your original life. Savvy says, learn to be sensitive to your intuition. That's very good. She was speaking on when you said your intuition was telling you that this is something you need to do, and you followed it. And basically letting you know, sometimes you got to follow that. You got to be sensitive to it. We ignore our intuition a lot, especially when it comes to things that we're looking to do. And we're saying we're looking for direction to do those things, but we're ignoring the direction.
Right. So you got to listen to it, man. Yes, man. You got to listen to it. You got to pray, and you just got to keep your faith, man. You know, like what I always say, the only thing you can't do is what you don't try. And I'm a living example of that. You know, I'm a testimony to that, because I never doubted myself. You know, that's why I say you gotta feed your faith and starve your doubts. Only thing you can't do is what you don't try. You know, you just have to believe in yourself. You know, you have to see it. You know, you got to manifest, see the invisible, do the impossible. Those are things that just been installed in me ever since I was young. Just like when I moved to Tallahassee, I came in my 10th grade year, you know, I ain't gonna lie, you know, I wasn't always a good dude or whatever. So I had I was on a fast pace to either jail or to early grade from what I experienced. So my mama told me, she said, hey, it's your last shot. After this, I mean, I ain't nothing I can do with you, because I lost my dad, you know, police killed my father. And so that made me like really have a certain, you know, like, lack of respect for law enforcement. I mean, I don't want people to, you know, misguide people. You know, I mean, you know, we need law enforcement, but it's just some police officers, man, are just, from where I'm from, was corrupt. You know, it was treacherous. You know,
they work in the street like they in the street. The gang bangers.
Yeah.
I told Ru earlier, his write-up ain't no bio. He got a whole write-up. It's a storyline. It can be a storyline to actually a movie, the way it is. But looking at it and reading it earlier, it kind of like, it was very sad to read, but it also brought you into the understanding of why you're doing what you're doing, why you went down the path you went down. And a lot of us, we don't look at the history of where we come from to know where we're going or why we have gotten to where we are. And I think a lot of that, reading your write-up on who you are and what you've been through and all of that, that gave me a better understanding as to why I saw you playing such an extensive role in Murder Gardens, because you were a mess in Murder Gardens. Like, I don't know. Give me 1 second, y'all. We're gonna drop a clip real quick. Everybody, I'm gonna drop the trailer for y'all, for everybody who hasn't seen it but wants the opportunity to. Give me 1 second, I'm gonna pull it up. We got a couple comments. Good evening. Kel said,
hey.
What's up? to you, Rue, and to Queen. Siobhan is speaking, of course.
Hey,
Jada in the building. What's happening?
Hey, Jada love.
So let me go to this real quick. I want to bring that up because that was a good, the trailer good. But for anybody who hasn't saw the movie, here's the trailer for y'all to get a little bit of understanding of it.
Life just funny like that sometimes, bro. You know, ever since the old girl died, I just learned how to deal with death different. We can't change what happened yesterday or fix the past. All we can do is make the most out of the present. Gotta cherish every moment, bro. Ain't no love in these streets, bro.
I know you're scared, and I know you're trying to be brave, but you have no idea what you're getting yourself into right now.
I know.
Okay, now.
All right.
Okay. I see you, bro. I see you. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And so, then, we also got the remote location also, and I'm not sure if you got the link to that one.
I saw the trailer for that. I didn't put the trailer in here for that one because I told you I'm horrified. No. However, I'm gonna put the link up so y'all can go check it out. But
yeah.
So tell us this though. How did you go from doing like an all-out extensive movie to where y'all is volatile, is family dynamic, it's about loyalty, the streets, and all of that, to now a horror film? Are you looking to grow? Is that because you're looking to expand on your acting skills? And so tell us about that transition.
The director, Mark, you know, he's more like a partner. He really helped mold me and guide me and helped me really believe in myself. He seen something in me I honestly didn't see in myself. So he told me, say, man, actually he hit me out the blue. I did not think, I was never thinking of, you know, showing being versatile and showing different acting ability, because I never pictured myself doing it. I just wanted to be, from what I experienced in life, I know that I can really bring that to life. So when I did The Murder Gardens, I related to that because, I was out there like that. So it wasn't really a hard transition for me. It just really, he gave me the power to be myself. And then he gave me, he gave me a skeleton script and told me, hey, man, bring it to life. He said, real is whoever you make it. So I was like, oh, okay. So when I sat down and I read the whole script, I brought it to realization. I just showed this is how it really was out here. So that's what make people really catch on to it and want to like, man, boy, real was such, such and such. So when it came to the horror film, he called me out the blue and told me he had another director named C.P. Hollywood from out of Fort Lauderdale. He actually an artist, and he just got signed and he wanted to get into the film industry. So he wrote up this script, I said about 2 years ago, this horror film called Remote Location. And he presented it to Mark. He was saying, man, I need to find some actors for it. He said, you know anybody that could play the lead role? He said, hey, man. He said, I got the perfect person. He was like, who? He said, you remember Rhea from Murder Gardens? He was like, Rick Rusey? He was like, hell yeah, man. He said, man, that's who, he said, I'm telling you, he'll bring it to life. So he was like, man, I didn't even think about him. He said, you think he'll want to do it? He said, he'll want to do it, trust me. So he already put me in they didn't do no audition for the part or nothing. I already had the part before I even knew it. So, and that's just how I feel like, God worked. So when he called me, he said, hey, man, he said, you ready? I said, what you talking about? He said, man, I got another shoot for you. He said, we're going to start shooting next month. I said, shooting what? He said, what you doing part two, The Murder God? He said, I'm still working on that. He said, it's a new film. It's called Remote Location. He said it's more like a horror film. It's kind of scary, it's thriller, stuff like that. It's like about a couple, they're celebrities, and they go to this remote location, this remote island. And it ended up being a twist to it to where you got to survive. I said, a horror film? I said, wow. I said, I'm telling you, man. He said, once you show this, then we're going to do you in a comedy thing. So he's telling me, he's showing me
the levels that you can go.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Saying,
so when they look at your portfolio and they pull you up on IMDb, they'll see everything. Like, okay, he can do it all. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. only thing I can't do is
You ain't stuck in no box.
Yeah, only thing I can't do is
I can't do P-Valley.
You what
meaning you can't what you can't be a you can't pay play a homosexual.
I can't do that.
That's, okay, that's, well, I mean, that's understanding. You gotta have your limits. Now you don't gotta open yourself up to everything.
No disrespect, you know, to the LP, you know, that little community or whatever. You know, I got all respect.
It definitely ain't no little community no more, Rue. That's community.
Oh, yeah.
That's
so
big.
That's a whole nother level.
But no, we totally understand that you gotta have your parameters. You gotta have your boundaries, and that's just that. It's not a disrespect to anybody. It's your choice, and that's simply that. We're going to get back into discussing Rue a little bit and his next level, his next course on his journey. We got to do our quote of the day. We have gotten 30 minutes into the show, I feel like, and we have not did the quote, y'all. Y'all know I'm off balance with that. So let me throw that on out there because, I skip. So this is the quote for the day. Oh, no, that's not it. Ooh, Lord. Okay, here we go.
You off the day, queen. You off the day, queen.
I'm telling you. So the best measure of success is how you deal with failure. And I strongly believe in that. Mm. Like, your levels of success are definitely going to depend on how you deal with when you don't succeed. If you quit every time something don't go right, how successful do you think you'll be? What do y'all think about that quote?
I mean, it speaks for itself to me. I mean, I feel like, you know, through your failures, you know, that's only gonna make you stronger, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I done been there, you know, just like with football, you know, that was really my passion. I mean, if you know me from high school, a lot of people that's probably on here know me, you know, I was a headhunter. So but when I went to college and I seen it was different, man. It was like they had a lot of favoritism and it ain't all about your athletic ability. It's all about who you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't start. That was devastating me because I ain't never been in a situation where I never started. I was like, wow. I had a white boy in front of me. And the reason why he was in front of me was because his daddy was a president of the booster club. So, you know, he's sponsoring the school. So, you know, they're going to start his son and he was garbage.
But when do black people not have to work harder to prove themselves? Like it wouldn't have, he would have had to, something have to happen. You step up and make it, you know, he had to break his, bust his knee, do something to, you know, ruin his career. And then they throw you out there and then you have to prove yourself. But.
And that's exactly what I had to do. You know, he ended up dislocating his shoulder one homecoming game and well before homecoming game. And they needed me to step up and start. And when I came in and started, you know, I had 10 solo tackles, a pass breakup, an interception, and that was just my first time starting in college football. And a lot of alumni seen that, and, you know, alumni are the ones that sponsor the schools, you know, be sending money.
Mm-hmm.
So big-time alumni seen that after the game and came up and asked me what my name was. He said, hey, man, what's your name, man? I told him, hey, man, I'm Thomas Rooster, you know? I said, he said, well, why the hell they don't have you out there starting? I said, go talk to him right there. You know, and all of that changed, but it devastated me though. That's why I say a lot of people, once they do fail, I just say, man, you don't remember nothing else. I said, man, when you fail, you don't, that don't mean you give up, because as long as you have breath in your lungs, man, you still have an opportunity, man. You know, you're just supposed to learn from that and build off of it. You know, that's how I am. You know, I look at it as motivation. It motivates me. Because when one door closes, you know, another one will always open up.
So that's right.
Just remember,
especially that. if you continuing, like when you, if success is the goal, and you have the felt, and you have went through the obstacles, and you know, every time you hit a wall, you feel like that's it. No, and you got to know that it's another way around that wall. You can climb over it, bust through it, climb under it. It's ways to get through these situations. And a lot of times we don't want to do that. So if you don't know how to deal with things not going right, how you gonna deal with it?
You out of luck.
I mean, if you don't know how to deal with when things are going wrong, how you gonna deal with everything when it's going right? Because it don't, just because it's going right, that don't mean it's going right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's still things that you gotta do to make sure everything falls in line. Queen, what you think about the quote?
Well, to me, failure is just a setup for your comeback. That's how I look at it. Because you fail, even though you failed that some, that might not be the route that you were supposed to take anyway. Mm-hmm. It was always, it's always a different route. So just because you failed at it, hey, that's just setting you up for you to come back with something even stronger, something even better for your life. And even when you said about that little voice that said something to you, that one number, the spirit of God telling you where you was, where you, he was going to take you anyway, it's good that you acted on what he said to you at that time. Because what if you wouldn't have never even thought about even trying to do what you're doing? Look where you at now. Like, that's amazing. Like, I've been watching you and stuff on your page and stuff. So, but to me, failure is just a setup for a good comeback. You just got to look at it. But everybody's mindset is not there. So when they fail, they just give up. But you got to look at it like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. But yeah, I always say too. Like, you know, I always have little quotes in my side. I don't know where they be coming from. It just be hitting. So like I said, you know, there's no such thing as failure. Failure is only when you give up. You only fail when you give up.
You know, that's kind of like the measure of it. You can't, if you saying I'm done, this beat me, then that's failure. If you can't continue,
defend you.
Right. You guys on the screen right now, this is the trailer to Remote Island. I was just looking at it over here, looking at it, trying to peep and look. I said, let me close this thing out, y'all. I see. People coming out of woods. Let me close this.
I can't watch the scary movies. I promote it, but I can't do the scary movies.
I mean, but it
really, I was scared of Michael Jackson. Thriller,
no, it's just
video.
Thriller. It's Thriller, but it's thriller, it's more Thriller than horror. But anything like that, if I watch something like that, I would definitely have to be with somebody. So I gotta watch it with someone, like, because it reminds me of how.
Yeah.
Watch it together then in the daytime or watch it at night. But
definitely in the daytime.
We might have to do that, Queen.
That's how I ended up being able to watch Michael Myers movie Halloween, because that's not scary to me no more. Like, ain't nothing about it even nowhere near scary. I don't even shake or flinch from that movie now. But I can't watch Jason. I can't watch Chucky. I can't watch Freddy Krueger. I can't. Like, I seen some. Yeah. So. But the trailer, this is the link to the trailer. Y'all check it out, because soon when they finish shopping and getting all the selling, getting the movie complete, that'll be the next movie for Mr. Rudely, as well as his other two movies that he'll be working on. So he went from being a victim, because, you know, as a child, when you lose your father, especially by a police force, he got shot innocently. The police thought he had a weapon. No weapon. No, nothing was brandished. That's just a cop out. Nothing was done. They didn't pay y'all. Y'all never got a dime from them killing your father. Y'all had to move because y'all were being threatened. And then beyond the threats and all of that, your mother was trying to save you from this society by trying to relocate you to Tallahassee. I remember when you came to Rickards. I think I was in the ninth grade.
Because
you was in the 12th.
Where are you originally from?
No,
Miami.
Originally from Miami.
Miami.
Yeah, Opa-locka. Yeah, Opa-locka, Florida.
Oh, yeah, Opa-locka. Okay. Nothing else.
Okay.
I remember when Thomas started that. He was definitely a hothead when he came to Rick. He definitely was that. But he was one of them smooth, you know, because Thomas had this like, old man persona about himself. Like, what 12th grader, you know, wearing linen pants to school?
But see, that's how they is down there.
I know. It's a different,
my stepdad
a different
from down there, so they very different. Very different.
So you definitely knew that he was not from he wasn't a Tallahassee. You definitely could tell.
Yeah, so where did this man come from?
Actually, to be honest, I was in his wife, him, his actual wife. Well, we were all in a photography class together. Learning how to print our own documents. Look at Versace. I'm telling you, that man used to wear Versace. That man used to wear big jewelry.
That man
used to have on Kango hats.
Boy, like, that's that style for real, baby. That's that style for real. What? What?
This man was grown when we was not even grown. But he was grown. You know, they was in 12th grade. But no,
when I got there, you was in the ninth. I was in the
12. You was in 12.
No, I came out 97. I mean 98. So
yeah, so yeah, if we was in the ninth grade, you had to be in the 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I do remember you being on the football team and that we used to hear your name in the all the time. At all the games, you always heard Thomas Rusley.
Oh, yeah.
He done hit this person. He done knocked this person out. As Kels just said, bit hit stick, let the paramedics sort it out. That's how things was at Rick back then. Yeah. Like, you know, so he was doing his thing. But so he came up here to set a standard for himself anyway. And that was to change the image of what he had. But he still had to work. He still had to work with it. He was, what class you was in, Tom? 98? 97? 98.
I was supposed to be 97, but you know, I was.
That's why. That's why I thought you was a 12th grader, Tom, because you was in, because Kamaya White was in our class too. So, and he was in the 12th grade. Yeah. So I thought you were, yes, see what I'm saying? But irregardless, you set a standard, you set a tone for yourself, you changed it. And now you have a daughter, a wife, a brand new son, or. And also another son. So y'all got three babies now.
I have a
three kids total. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my son. I just had him, you know, June 29th. So he's
strong.
You know, he should be home by the end of this month.
So he came out preemie?
Yeah.
Sir. Y'all excited?
6 months. Oh yeah, most definitely, man. He's a beast. You know, he's something else, man. That's a little
favor on his life.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. Else, that's man. Beautiful, Ro. I'm happy to hear life. That. That's
he's
beautiful.
Something else, man. So that's my piece right there. You know, I was already humble, but he really humbled me, you know.
Those are the things that you're living for now. So if not for those things that you had to go through to get here, you made it through because you had several obstacles that could have stopped you along the way and put you down before you made it to this point. Before we continue on with that, we got a little couple topics that we want y'all to join. You want to join us in on, because you know, this is all a part of the interview process as well. Being able to answer these questions, converse with the community of people. As we were just talking about not giving up and not giving into what you would call a failure, when is enough enough? When do you know when enough is enough? When you've tried enough a certain amount of times to say, I'm done with it. When is enough enough?
I mean, me personally, it's never enough for me. You know, I'm always keep striving, keep trying. You know, but I mean, like when I was doing the rap, that was something I did for some years trying to make it. But it was just, it's all about who you know. So when I gave up on that, I gave it about 8 years almost. I was trying to do that for a long time. But then I said, you know what, man?
Wow.
It ain't meant for everybody. I don't feel like I had bad music. Like I got some of my music on Audio Mac. I put it on Audio Mac. And that's a site where you put up your little EP, you know, and mm-hmm. play your music. Mm-hmm. So they can check that out, you know, under my rap name. That's how I got the name Rusalina, because I was using that as my rap name. So that's where Rusalina came from. And I just kept it, you know, since it was original and I created it, came up with it. But when that door didn't open and I realized it was a lot of jealousy, I said, you know what, man, this ain't what God got for me. And then I just pursued other things, you know, got my CDL, started working, becoming an independent businessman, you know, working on my entrepreneurship, and started doing that till I had that confirmation with the acting. And now I see that this right here is, I feel honestly, is my calling. So that's what I'm working towards now. And man, I'm not gonna ever give that up, because I feel like this is what God gave me. This is what He had in store for me. So everything that I've been through in my life prepared me for this moment. Right. So that's where I'm.
So it doesn't ever feel like it's like enough is enough, because you can transition. It doesn't. It's not like, you know, you made the choice just to quit being a rapper. You knew that it was something else extra for you. So you did it for a number of years, realized that wasn't your calling.
What was a good thing also, not to cut you off, but what was a good thing about that is how God worked, you know, because, you know, I feel like, you know, you got a sense of humor. All the music that I did, when I submitted it to the director, he used my music in the movie. So actually it was on the soundtrack of Murder Gods. So you got like about four of my songs in the background. So every time you, when you watch the movie and you see me, a scene with me, and you hear music playing in the background,
that's your music.
My music, right? So
I probably need to pay attention to that then, because I watched the movie, you know, I just thought it was just normal, the music of the soundtrack. But that's dope.
That's me rapping.
So you getting paid for having your music be on the screen, for you being on the screen, you know. Right. So it's you creating wealth. You're creating a lot of different. Yes, you are definitely. Putting yourself in a position to make sure that people know your name. And that's beautiful. That's the whole purpose of this. Next question. How do you all, because this is starting to be, I thought we got through this. And every time I think we get through this topic right here, it always is something that somebody either posts or it's something on like a social media outlet that makes me have to bring this question back up. And I'm almost tired of it. But why do people feel, and since we have a male on here today, it's always good to ask opposite sex people these questions as well. Why do people feel that opposite sex friendships are not feasible?
I mean, because I feel like, I mean, that's just my opinion. You know, just because it's just the opposite sex, so men feel like eventually they have some kind of, you know, chemistry, but really it's just all about having trust in your significant other at the end of the day, you know, because I feel like that's possible. It's possible to have a female friend, you know, but it's just, you just can't be insecure. You know, you got to have faith and trust in your partner, knowing that they have enough respect for you to not want to burn that bridge and, you know, and
But why do we always feel like there's going to be some sexual attraction there? I have my two close male friends, I don't even look at them in no type of sexual capacity. And I feel like they don't look at me in the same sexual capacity either. I think they're protectors, but they don't look at me like, oh, I just want to beat her down. No, I think that, he got a good point right here. That publishing is what pays, not just the spins. I'm telling you, that publishing. So being on that soundtrack is just as better than even having a CD come out. But I feel like that a lot of times it's not even just about trusting your partner. You got to learn how to trust you. Like, where do you feel that there's something going to happen? Is that a question for you because you are that person? Like, can you not see yourself in a friendship with somebody else that you're not sexually compatible with? That's why you couldn't trust your partner to do it, because you know you couldn't do it. Like, is that a lot of the reason? I feel like that's a lot of the reason why men have that issue with their females being friends with other females. But I also feel like women because I was looking at one of the statements on the pieces that I picked up when I was working on this write-up, and it said that if the world were more like women, there'd probably be a whole lot of more opposite sex relationships. But because the world thinks mostly like men, that's why a lot of the relationships don't work, of the friendships of opposite sex don't work. What do you think that has some truth to it?
I mean, to a certain extent, yeah. So it's like, reason why they feel like that, because they know how they are. They know what they'll be doing. Mm-hmm. So that's why they come at their partner like, oh, no, you can't be such, because he know if it was him or she know if it was her, how she'll feel, how what she'll do on that behalf. You know what I'm saying? If they was in those shoes. So that's why they feel the way that they feel, because they know that themselves. So they're speaking from a self point of view, because they revealing their hands.
So it never really comes from the trusting of who you're with. It's more so you just more so insecure with what you
yourself
have done or what you or who you are. And that ruins, and that's right. The point, that's the part right there that ruins relationships. It ain't right. Got nothing to do with that other person. It's all strictly about what we got going on over here, and you using yourself in the situation when I could have this person come over and sit with you every single day, you still wouldn't trust them.
Right.
So
crazy.
Yeah. But I mean, that's life. Cause I lost a friend
behind that.
I saw something where the dude was like, the girl was like, me and my friend we go out together, because me and my homeboy go out, we hang out, we drink together, burn together, whatever we want to do, we hang out. Shit, like that's my friend, and I don't ever feel like anybody, I know people, you know, people gonna talk and people gonna say things, but because we know that it ain't nothing going on ever, and it will never be, because for one, not only that, you probably done dealt with somebody I know personally that I'm close with, and same thing with me. I done probably dealt with somebody you know personally that you close with, so it ain't no ties that we finna cross no lines. And I think that's a lot of the reason too why my friendships work out that way, is because we will never cross lines like that, because we already have outside forces that force us not to cross those lines.
Right.
There are times when you can have platonic relationships and really have platonic relationships without there being something. But we gotta, in order for those things to work, we got a few rules that go along with platonic relationships, because a lot of y'all don't know how to be platonic. Y'all calling these people bros and boo and bro, and that's my dog, and y'all laying down together. I ain't never called nobody that I've messed with my bro. That's foolish.
That's incest.
That's foolish. That's
crazy.
Come on.
Oh, what's up, bro?
What's up, bro? And then they say, you know what, y'all climb. Yeah, come on. That's strange.
Right.
Oh, what's up, sis? Like you call, that's your sis, and you done knocked her down a million times. That's weird. It's a lot of weirdness that comes along with that. So we're going to run through the rules real quick. And I want my two co-hosts to let me know if y'all think that these are good rules. For people who don't have any boundaries set, keep an eye out for developing feelings. That's number one. If you feel like this could be something that can develop into something further, make sure you watching out for that. Y'all agree or disagree?
I agree.
And this is the one that kind of made me feel like, damn, so this ain't got nothing to do with the friendship. This got something to do with the partner. That's why I asked what I asked to you. Like, do you think it's because they have already underlying feelings about themselves and they forcing it on their partner? And that's kind of what I see in this particular situation when it says nothing you say or do, or I'm sorry, keep your boundary, know your boundaries and make sure you talk about them. Make sure your partner has met your friend and feels comfortable with them. So this is a question. If your partner is not comfortable with your friend that you've been friends with longer than that's been your partner, what happens?
That's a tough one right there, because it's like, if you with your partner, you know, you love your partner and y'all, you know, good chemistry and y'all building together, you know, you want to keep that. But then you got your friend, you know, that you grew up with, you cool with, y'all hang out and all. It's just you got to know your lines. You know, what I say in the beginning of your relationship.
Bring that friend around.
Let your partner know before we even go any further, this right here is my friend. You know, we don't go there. It's like, so if we're going to be in a relationship, I need to know right now.
No, thank you, Turn.
It froze.
He froze. He'll be back. Okay, so we're going to... Queen, what'd you think about that question? What'd you think about
that? I actually didn't been through that before with one of my male friends that I had been friends with since the eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And when he, the young lady that he was dating, she never met me, so he actually like literally brought her to my house so she could meet me. Mm-hmm. And he was like, Candace, I just want to know what you think, friend. You know, like tell me what you think about her. I was like, all right. So when she met me, she seemed it real cool and cordial. But as they got further along and he asked her to marry him, she really had a problem with me. So man, he ended our friendship because of how his wife felt. And I told him, you gotta choose her over me, regardless of our friendship, even though every male friend that I have, if they widow a chick, she usually become my friend too. Because right. They tell them, look, this Candace my sister. If she ride for me, she gonna ride for you even harder.
Right.
Because
right.
She has that much, right. She has that love for me. But her insecurities and what she said to him, I just don't believe y'all ain't never had no type of attraction to each other or nothing like that. Like, well, that's your insecurities. That ain't got nothing to do with our friendship.
But we stopped being friends. To be exploited into the relationship. They are like,
yeah. So we stopped being friends.
Yeah.
And even with my husband, I told him from the beginning, look here, these men that I've been friends with before you came into the picture, guess what? They're gonna always be my friends. Cause see, you might get up and leave me one day, and I might have to go. I'm not gonna stop talking to them cause of you. And he was like, look, I trust you. I trust you. What you tell me, that's what I'm going to go by. And we went from there. So I never had a problem with my husband being jealous of anybody that I've been friends with. Even I do believe people can be adults and make friends as adults. A lot mm-hmm. of people like, you can't make no friend, no male friend as an adult, no female friend as an adult. Why you can't? You work with people.
Why you can't?
You have business partnerships with people. You have married friends and you become their spouse's friend. So I don't understand it, but I do believe that it has a lot to do with that person's insecurities. And that's all it comes down to. It really has something to do with their insecurities, but it really don't matter to me. My husband say he got, oh, that's your friend. Okay. It's something out. If it's not what you say it is, it'll end up coming out.
It'll end up being showed. And that's the thing. That's what I was going to say. Whatever is really going on is going to expose itself. You can't mm-hmm. hide that. But you got to trust who you're dating, who you're with, who you're loving. Because if you don't trust them, you can ruin a good thing just because you think that a friendship is too real of a friendship for you. That's crazy. You think people don't have people in their life that love and care about them before you came along?
Some people really don't. And it's crazy.
They just think that it only happened when they got there?
Even when my friend that I lost, his wife ended up being friends with my friends, with my homegirls that I grew up with.
Had a problem with you.
She had a problem with me. And to be honest, and I'm going to say this, I think it was more of a problem with my physical look than her actually getting to know me. She was just looking on the outside.
Because she never took the chance to get to know
me. She never got a chance. She just judged me from the outside.
Right.
And she never got a chance to actually know me. But I told him, like, man, that's your wife. You got to choose her. I still, like, text him just to tell him happy birthday. Look, how you and your wife doing? How the kids doing? Stuff like that. His mom see me and be like, dang, y'all ain't. I ain't talked to your son. I don't know if the mom. I just be like, I ain't talked to him. But telling him and his wife, I said, hey, I hope all is well, you know, stuff like that. But it just is what it is. Because what I always say, baby, you lost a good friend. You'll never find a friend like me. I'm a ride or die.
And a lot of them, A lot of them do. A lot of them do. Our next one is making sure to in the comfort of making your partner comfortable with your situation is to always have other friends of the same gender as you. So, yeah, you got a couple female friends or whatever, but make sure you do got male friends as well. If you got a couple male friends, make sure you got female friends as well. So it's basically just saying whatever the sex you are, make sure you got friends of that same sex as well, because that's supposedly something to make the partner comfortable. I'm sorry. I'm just not with the pussyfoot no more. I'm 40 years old.
That's stupid.
I'm not pussyfooting with you. If I say that's my friend,
that's what I mean.
That's and if you say. Got a problem with that, you might as well go ahead and pack your little bags and exit the room. Because I don't even want to build with you.
It's crazy, but
because there's no trust there.
And jealousy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't trust, you don't even trust me enough to know that this person is strictly who I said it is. And now you put me in a position to where I gotta choose. Man, I ain't doing that. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. 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 And then another thing, make sure you're very open and honest with your friend about your partner and how they feel about your friend. And that way, so they can be understanding of why they feel this way. Be open and honest with that person. Don't just be like, oh, I'm going to hang out with my friend. And then a picture pop up on social media where your friend tagged you in and your partner don't know nothing about it.
And looking at you real stupid.
Yeah, that's crazy. Don't do that.
That's a whole argument.
That's a whole argument.
Fight. All of
We ain't talking no more. We walk around the house with a grudge. That's crazy. Why would you do that to yourself? Just keep it honest and open. Keep it honest and open. And the most important boundaries in any type of opposite sex friendship is, one, never, ever flirt. Don't overly share personal information with each other. You can talk about y'all business, y'all friendship. You can talk about, because like most times your friends talk to you for advice. And I think that we need to stop feeling like we can't have the same understanding with a male that we have with our female friends. Like if I share personal things with my female friends, I'm more than likely going to share personal things with my male friends. It just depends on how much you share. Like you ain't got to be like, oh, he beat my good side. And then
that ain't
what you're telling your male friend. I'm sorry.
I ain't even really sharing that part with my female friend, because what I do in certain, the bedroom don't got nothing to do.
It's just
with
certain
that.
Things you supposed to know how to win the. That's why boundaries are important. Boundaries mm-hmm. are very important. Friendships, relationships, and whoever. Just you got to have your boundaries. Don't compare each other's significant others. If one of your significant mm-hmm. others appreciate you being your partner friend and the other one don't, let that stay separate. Don't be comparing, well, she don't do this and my don't. Mm-mm. It's not worth it.
You don't compare at all.
Don't ever assume that you have a deeper emotional connection. Whatever is on the surface, let that be the surface. That's just that. If you got a connection outside of what y'all display, outside of what y'all display, then we'll keep it that way. But as far as anything else, keep it cordial. Welcome back.
I apologize. Okay. You know, it's storming here. I'm sorry. So I had to reconnect.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, you are right. Man. You are okay.
Yeah, it's pouring down here. So.
Yeah, Florida been getting it.
Yeah, you know, it's about to be hurricane season, so you know it's been
hurricane season, Roo.
I mean, you know what I'm saying.
It's June. Like,
y'all know what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
It's definitely the hurricanes are picking up. I know it. I feel
yeah, they're picking up.
The storms out there picking up in the ocean, so I feel you. The next one. We getting through this because we getting ready to close out the show. And when we get ready to close out the show, we're going to let you close us out and let us know about what's coming up next. I know you told us about the remote location, but you got two other films in the making. We want to hear about what you got next with the independent company. And then we're going to shut it down for the day. Don't ever post intimate photos of the two of you on social media. Don't keep secrets from each other about your partners. And don't ever get physical. So those are the boundaries that they're saying that will keep a successful opposite sex friendship. All right. So Rue, tell us what you got coming up next. What's happening next with Mr. Thomas Rusley? He froze again.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right.
It's coming back in.
Mm-hmm. Well, but as he is getting himself together to come back in, we have a couple. Two more weeks in this month? One more week? Mm-hmm. Week and a half?
Two more weeks after this week. It'll be two.
Okay, so we got two more weeks in September. We have one more interview within the next week. We don't have an interview. The week after we do. So we have a couple more interviews coming up for this quarter. October ends the quarter, right? October starts the next quarter.
October starts the third.
September ends this quarter. So after this, after our last set of interviews, the last quarter of the year, we have interviews, y'all. We got some stuff coming up. We got some people to talk to. And then we're going to be working on, we got in January, February, we're going to be bringing our spring brunch back. So, ooh. Yes, we're looking forward to that. So, make sure that y'all stay tuned. He got about five names up here on the screen right now. I ain't closed that one up.
You ain't closed that.
I'm sorry, y'all.
Okay, there
it is. It's just
scary. You all right? You all right?
It's all right.
You all right?
I'm sorry. Yeah, so
you are okay. Yeah, so go ahead and let us know what you got going on.
It got the Florida weather. Come on, God. Let him put it out there.
He got about five screens over here, Queen, saying Mr. Roosley. So we're gonna go ahead and just shut it down for y'all. But make sure y'all check out Thomas's latest movie, Remote Location, for when that does drop. We'll drop it on our thing, on our page, and let y'all know when it come out.
Yeah.
So make sure y'all check that out. Make sure y'all continue to go out and support Murder Gardens. It's a good movie. It's worth the watch. And if you need information on becoming independent contractors and truck drivers, definitely hit Thomas up because he's been doing that for a while. Yes, get in touch with your boy. I'm going to bring him back on real quick so he can just say his quick goodbyes to us. Because we're going to bring him. Let me try one more time.
Go ahead, Tom.
One more time.
Oh, my God. I rebuke you. This is, the devil. You know, you can't steal our
That's all. That's all. He don't want you to promote what you got going on, but we shut him down right now.
Put it on that now.
Rebuke you. Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, as of right now, like I said, we're in the process of, finding the network to pick up Remote Location, and we'll have two more movies coming out. And then you can't forget about it. We're about to start back filming on Murder Gardens Part 2. We want to do that, so that's going to be a whole new. Oh man, it's going to be even better than the first one. And it's actually another director. He reached out to me because he came on the set of Remote Location where we was filming, and I was doing one of the stunts. And he actually is a writer as well, and that got me picked up in a movie that he's producing. That's going to be actually in the theaters. He said a $6 million budget behind that. So that's going to be a Bruce, like a, you remember Die Hard? I know y'all.
Mm-hmm. Love Die Hard.
Bruce Willis. Yeah. So
yes.
It's
my favorite.
It's an action film, and I'm going to be the lead actor in it. And it's going to be phenomenal. So I'm excited about that. We're going to start shooting that sometime next year. And that's going to be the one that's going to really open up the door for me. I mean, not saying these other ones are not, great platforms.
They open up. Those are the ones that's opened up the doors, definitely, in a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because right. They're pushing you
up. Your acting career is going to be amazing.
So that's
going to open up the doors for your music, too.
Well, mainly, only thing I'm going to do with the music, I'm going to just make music just for soundtracks. That's it. So
that's what I'm talking about.
So they don't have to let me in the rap gang. I respect it, I'm going to just do what I have to do and put it on film, and that's it. I mean, you still get paid the same way, and I'm going to just keep it going because that's always been my passion. So, You'll be hearing it soon. You'll be hearing it and checking it out. Let me know what y'all think. But we're gonna start filming that next year, and Murder Gods Part 2 should be out next year also. And so that'll be really like three movies, the remote location that we're doing. That should be coming out next year. Then we're doing Murder Gardens Part 2. That's next year. And then this new film that we're going to be releasing it to the theaters. You know, I can't really release the name right now, but
that's just fine. Stay tuned. That's fine. And, keep it undercover. Yeah, we know it's coming.
Oh yeah, just know it's coming. So that's my goal. So I'm just steady working, man. I'm just trying to get, and I'm not looking back. So I feel like I done found my calling, and I'm just gonna keep chasing this dream. And if I can help anybody else that's, you know, interested, wants to do auditions, you know, I let them know.
Well, he got everything out then, y'all. So even if he froze again, he definitely got everything out. But so as we were saying, y'all, make sure y'all hit him up if y'all need any of those services. If that needing any advice, any audition information, definitely hit Mr. Ruzley up. His Instagram is at Ruzalini on Instagram, and I think it's Ruzalini Ruzley on Facebook. So, and again, our quote of the day is, the best measure of success is how you deal with any failure. So make sure you don't allow your failure, things that don't work out, to bring you down. And we'll always be here on Wednesdays, SW Podcast Wednesdays, to make sure that you guys are getting that culture-based conversation that is needed on a regular basis. We appreciate y'all for tuning in today, as always. And y'all give it up for Queen for jumping in. It's one something over there in Hawaii. And my dog is live in effect over here. 35. And she came to represent, and she is definitely always in the building.
Always, always. Thank y'all for tuning in to SW Podcast Wednesday. Y'all know how we do this thing, me and Queen. Like, this is what we do. this is what we do. But we do appreciate y'all for just supporting us. Like, this has been an amazing journey. It's been an amazing journey doing this podcast and being dedicated every Wednesday. When we was off of those weeks, people like, y'all ain't doing the podcast no more. What podcast is it? I was like, hold up, we gotta take a break. We got children, we got families, we got lives. Like, but we appreciate it, y'all. Like, it's really been amazing. Like, and everything I can honestly say with me and Queen Shell, everything coming full circle.
Everything coming full circle, y'all. So make sure y'all keep on supporting us. Keep tuning in. Keep watching out for the next shows, because most of these shows and most of these topics are definitely things that can help you and help the next person around you. So tune in next Wednesday. We'll be back with a great topic and a great discussion. As always, we love y'all. We like y'all. And we always, always, always appreciate y'all. Thank y'all so much for tuning in today. Y'all take care of yourselves. Be safe out there. Watch your backs. Lock your doors. Look at your surroundings. Hold your head up when you're walking.